You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight is an important broadcast, at least for those of you who understand what important is. Got a letter today from a guy who said he was a real Christian. Wanted to know why I spent so much time on what he termed, quote, that bullshit, end quote. Wanted to know why I don't talk more about, quote, him, end quote. As if I'm supposed to know who him is. I think I do, being as to the fact that he announced so strongly that he was such a great Christian in the beginning of his letter. Well, folks, for those of you who feel that way, turn off your radio. This is not your broadcast. You should never listen to this program, ever, in your life. This program is about truth, no matter who it hurts or helps, even if it hurts me. It's about truth. And truth is what we're going to talk about all the time on this broadcast. And if it pings on you or your agenda, then you're living a lie. You're living in fantasy land. You cannot live in this world or expect to ever reach whatever is in the next world if you cannot deal with truth. A very famous man once said, and I quote, "Seek ye the truth, and the truth will make you free," end quote. Now, you can figure out who said that. I'm not going to tell you. Many of you might know. The man who made that statement was trying to educate the world to the truth. The world took his truth and perverted it and twisted it and created something that he would not even recognize were he to walk amongst us again today. You can bet on it. Don't go away. I shall return. When we expose a piece of iron to the air, the oxygen contained in the latter element oxidizes the iron and in time disintegrates it. This process is commonly known as rusting. The blood comes in contact with the air every time it passes through the lungs, and as a needle is drawn to a magnet, so does the oxygen of the inspired air coalesce with the iron in the blood. A process of combustion takes place, which is similar to the rusting or oxidization we observed in the iron exposed to the air. This broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, is a continuation of Freemasonry and Catholicism. The war between the philosophers of fire and those of the waters of faith. They claim that the ether contained in the dense fiber of wood after the latter has undergone combustion in a stove passes outwards through the iron in the form of semi-invisible heat waves vibrating at different velocities according to the degree of heat in the furnace. So the spiritual vibration generated by the combustion of oxygen and iron in our physical bodies passes outwards and colors our invisible vehicles according to their vibratory pitch. Low vibrations are seen as red, the higher are yellow, and the highest, blue. Experience has taught us that combustible material may be placed in a furnace, and all conditions necessary to combustion may be present, but that until the match is applied, the materials remain unconsumed. Those who have studied the laws of combustion know also that a forced draft carries with it great quantities of oxygen, which is necessary to obtain heat from fuel containing much mineral. The reason for this condition lies in the fact that minerals, being the lowest in the scale of evolution, vibrate at a correspondingly slower rate than the plant, animal, or man. It requires a maximum effort to raise their vibrations to such a pitch that combustion may liberate their spiritual essence, and oxygen is the accelerator in this process. Were the same amount of oxygen supplied to good vegetable fuel, which naturally vibrates at a much higher rate than mineral, the furnace would be in danger of destruction because of the intensity of the heat generated. A similar process takes place within the body, which is the temple of the spirit. This is the flame which kindles the inner fire and generates the spiritual product which passes outwards from all warm-blooded creatures as heat radiates from a stove. Cold-blooded creatures are so low in the scale of evolution that they have as yet no life within themselves, but are worked upon by the group spirit from without entirely. And it is the group spirit which generates the life-giving currents responsible for the animation in these creatures. These currents pass inwards to sustain the nascent life until it shall be able to respond and begin to send currents outward from itself. Now, these radiant lines of force emanating invisibly to the physical sight from our dense bodies are our aura, as already stated. And while the color of each individual's aura differs from that of all other individuals, there is nevertheless a basic or ground color showing its status in the scale of evolution. Now, before you get carried away with this, especially if you're a new listener and have never heard anything about any of this before, I'm going to tell you that every single bit of it is absolute total crap. Has no basis in science, cannot be proven by anyone. It is, in fact, another religion hidden behind the veil, practiced in temples that have no windows, called the mysteries. Now, if you wish to believe in all of this, that is your right. And being a constitutionist, I certainly would support your right to do that. In fact, would be willing to give my life in defense of that right. Where you go wrong is when you try to manipulate others with these religions, whatever the religion is. When you attempt, through lies, deceit, and manipulation, to cause others to further an agenda which is not apparent to them. And if it were, they would not participate, would not back that agenda. In fact, might turn upon you. Liberty is the process wherein each individual lives his or her life to the fullest, doing whatever they will, as long as they never injure the person or the property of any other human being. And that's where I part company with all of the people in the world who believe that they have to shove their beliefs, their ideas, their agendas, their plans, their hopes for the future down everyone else's throat. The world is being lied to today. Most people are living in a state of deception, fantasy, if you will. They're being manipulated toward a world which in reality will bear no resemblance to the myth that is being perpetrated about that future world. And it doesn't take too much intelligence to figure that out once you get past the veil of fantasy, the deception, the shimmering mirror wherein you look in and see yourself looking back, and you just look so good to yourself that you don't want to walk away from that mirror or hit it with a hammer and see what's on the other side, the reality. Most people went to Disneyland and never came out. The park is closed. Their e-ticket doesn't work. The rides are not spinning around, and yet they still walk around and stroll and enjoy the fantasy. So now that I've served that warning on the new listeners, let me continue opening your eyes. For that is what this broadcast is all about. In the lower races, this ground color is a dull red, like the color of a slow-burning fire, indicating their passionate, emotional nature. Remember Star Trek? Remember Dr. Spock? Spock was the most evolved of all of the creatures aboard the Starship Enterprise, and he operated from a pure level of intellect. He did not understand emotion or love or passion. Kirk was sort of the bridge between the other people on the starship who were swayed by their emotions, their passions, and occasionally even he was. But he could understand the intellectual and the emotional. And he represented this age. Spock represents the future. In the lower races, this ground color is a dull red, like the color of a slow-burning fire, indicating their passionate, emotional nature. When we examine people upon a somewhat higher rung of the ladder of evolution, the basic color or vibration radiated by them is seen to be of an orange hue, the yellow of intellect, mixed with the red of passion. By the spiritual alchemy unconsciously performed by them as they travel along the path of progress and learn to make their emotions subservient to mind in a measure, through many experiences in the school of life, they are gradually freeing themselves from bondage to the martial Lucifer spirits and the war god Jehovah, whose colors are scarlet and red. Also, by obeying consciously or unconsciously the unifying altruistic Christ spirit, whose vibrations produce a yellow color, which is thus mingling with the red and will gradually obliterate it, the golden aureole painted by the artists gifted with spiritual sight around holy men is a physical representation of a spiritual promise which applies to humanity as a whole, though it has only been realized by a few who are called saints. After lives of battle with their passions, after patient persistence in well-doing, high aspirations and steadfast adherence to lofty purposes, these people have raised themselves above the red ray and are now entirely imbued with the golden Christ ray and its vibration. Now, folks, this is one of the reasons why those who belong to this secret religion can legitimately claim that they believe in Christ. They do, but not the Christ that most Christians believe in. You say they believe that Christ is an office. It is a state of mind and a state of the perfection of the soul brought about by alchemy, the changing of base metal, iron, or lead into pure gold. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And when they talk about the return of Christ, they are not talking about Jesus Christ coming back and walking amongst us upon this earth. They are talking about the return of what was once called or known as the Golden Age, where wars cease to be, and everyone is politically correct. And they are all imbued with the Golden Christ ray and its vibration. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, when man becomes God. Are you beginning to get the picture? This spiritual fact has been embodied by medieval artists gifted with spiritual sight in their pictures of saints whom they represent as surrounded by a golden aureole, indicating their emancipation from the power of the Lucifer spirits of Mars, who are the fallen angels, as well as from Jehovah and his angels, who belong to an earlier stage of evolution, earlier than Lucifer, and are the warders of national and race religions. Do you hear that? That is a political statement condemning the followers of the Christian religion and of Jehovah and his angels. Michael, for one. Because they're the warders of national and race religions, both of which have become politically incorrect and will not be allowed in the New World Order. Nationalism will be a form of mental illness. Patriots will be said to be suffering from a psychosis. And race religions, which declare that it is a superior race, are a race that has a covenant with God, are a race that is God's chosen people, are a race that is the true Israel, are scheduled for extinction, ladies and gentlemen. I've told you this over and over again. And that's why you are wrong about the Jews. Yes, there are many Jews involved in this, but they are not of the religion of Judaism. They are secular humanists who believe that through the perfection of the intellect, man himself will become God. They belong to a secret brotherhood that practice this ancient mystery religion of the Christos, the perfection of the soul. And this religion existed long before Jesus Christ was ever born. George Bush belongs to this religion. Jerry Falwell belongs to this religion. Bill Clinton belongs to this religion. And I can go on and on and on. This religion is the mother of socialism, the father of communism. This religion gave birth to Adolf Hitler. That is why I know that if we do not successfully combat this lie, man will go backwards in his evolution into another form of slavery, just like he has always lived in throughout the history of the world. The founder of this religion is Lucifer, Satan. Whether you believe in Lucifer or Satan or not, his followers are called the Magi. The Magi are the practicers of the art of deception, illusion. Remember? This fallen angel was the father of lies. Well, it is true. And it is being practiced even in this modern day and age. They cannot tell the truth. They will not tell the truth. They lie and deceive and manipulate because their world that they wish to bring into being would not be accepted by the majority of the people on this earth. They would rise up and destroy them. You see, if what they were trying to bring about were good, they would not have to lie about it. They would not have to deceive. They would not have to manipulate. Not at all. Even their religion is a lie. Everything that they do is a lie. They are the philosophers of fire. They believe that all things are renewed in nature by fire. They burn their enemies to make sure that all of the past is erased from their spiritual memory so that when they come back in a reincarnated body, they will not be their enemies still. Maybe that will help you to understand some recent events. And if you're a student of history, an awful lot of events throughout the history of the world. The Lucifer spirits find expression in the iron in our blood. Iron is a Mars metal, difficult to start into high vibration, so difficult that it takes many lives of great effort to change the product of its combustion to the golden color which designates the saint. When that has been achieved, the greatest feat of alchemy has been performed. The base metal has been changed to gold. The wonderful alloy of the molten sea has been made from the dross of the earth. All that then remains is to pull the plugs and pour it. The natural golden color is the Christ ray finding its chemical expression in the oxygen, a solar element. And as we advance upon the path of evolution towards universal brotherhood, even those who are not professedly religious acquire a tinge of gold in their auras due to the high altruistic impulses common to the West. Paul speaks of this as, quote, Christ being formed in you, end quote. Paul was a member of this secret religion, and if you really understand the symbology of the mysteries and read the words of Paul in the Bible, you will see that he did not have any knowledge whatsoever of a crucified Christ. as you know the crucified Christ up on the cross with a spear stuck in his side, bleeding from wounds of nails through his hands and feet. Having been whipped, the crown of thorns upon his head, thirsty, hanging in the sunlight. No. Paul's Christ was a different Christ, of which you have no knowledge. Paul speaks of this as, quote, Christ being formed in you, end quote. For when we have learned to mix the alloy by spiritual lives, then we vibrate to the same pitch as he. We are Christ-like, ready, as said, to pull the plugs of the crucibles and to pour the molten sea. Christ was liberated on the cross through spiritual centers located where the nails are said to have been driven and elsewhere. And one who has prepared the molten sea is also instructed by the teacher how to pull the plugs and soar into the higher spheres, or as the Masonic saying is, to, quote, travel in foreign countries, end quote, and that is the true source of the term, quote, fellow traveler, end quote. This is in harmony with the dictum of Christ that to become his disciple, one must leave father and mother. That is one of the hard sayings of the gospel and generally misunderstood because it is taken to refer to our physical father and mother in the present life, whereas in the esoteric or the Masonic point of view, something very different is intended. If you are of the philosophers of fire or the sons of Cain, you are to leave your father Lucifer. And if you are of the waters of faith, the sons of Seth, or Adam, you are to leave your father Jehovah, that you have known as God, which is also Jesus Christ. To get the idea, let us once more call to mind that the Lucifer spirits, by the introduction of iron into the system, made it possible for the human ego to become an indwelling spirit, but continued oxygenation of the blood renders the body undesirable as a habitation in time, and death ensues. Therefore, though the Lucifer spirits helped us into the body, they are also truly the angels of death. And the progeny of Samael and Eve are subject thereto, as well as the children begotten by her and Adam, for all our flesh. Now, for those of you who were not listening at the beginning of this series, Samael is Satan, Lucifer, who they say mated with Eve and bore the child named Cain. All who stem from that union are the sons of Cain, the philosophers of fire, of the material world, whose god is Lucifer. Their father is Lucifer. All of those who sprang from the relationship between Adam and Eve are the sons of Adam, the sons of Jehovah. They are of the waters of faith. The sun, they say, S-U-N, not S-O-N, is the center of life and rules the life-giving gas we know as oxygen, which coalesces with the martial iron. Therefore, Christ, the Lord of the sun, is also the Lord of life. And if you understand the ancient mysteries and the old religion of sun worship, this will make sense to you. For Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is none other than Tammuz in their religion, is none other than Horus in their religion. You see? And when by spiritual alchemy, as has been explained, we become like him, we are immortal. And thus we leave our father Samael and our mother Eve and death has no more dominion over us. And that was the promise of Lucifer in the Garden of Eden. That God, Jehovah, was lying to Adam and Eve. That they should eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if they did, they would not surely die, but would become as gods. Now that does not mean that death may not happen to the body of such people, they say, but the body is entirely under their control. And a body used by such people usually lasts for many hundreds of years unless it becomes expedient to take another one. And this is another lie. Then by the same process of spiritual alchemy, they are able to create an adult body for themselves and to leave the old body, which they desire to discard, for the new one, which they have made previously and fitted to serve their purpose. I will return. Tell you how to change nothing into gold. You don't even need base metal. You don't need iron or lead or any of this other baloney, and you don't need oxygen, and you don't need any medieval artist to paint your picture. Nope. You can change absolutely nothing into gold and get your hands on some real money. The real heavy stuff. You know what I mean? Very simple. Reach in your wallet. You see, I revel in the fact that there are people in this world who will actually give me real money for nothing. For a piece of paper covered with ink with a bunch of lies printed on it, such as Federal Reserve. It's not federal, it's privately owned. There is no reserve. And then the final word, note. A note is an instrument of debt, saying that somebody owes somebody something and that there is collateral, and the note can be called for the collateral, or the debtor can pay the debt with real money, which does not exist in this economy. I love it. So I take these phony pieces of paper covered with ink to these people, and I exchange it for real money. Now, these people are not really fools, ladies and gentlemen. For they understood what real money was long, long before we did. And that's why they're in that business. And they have made sure that their future is taken care of, and then they begin to deal in it. They buy it and sell it. Most of them are unscrupulous and do sometimes terrible things, like what was done night before last on this very radio station. Others believe in helping people and provide safeguards for them, such as buyback policies and guarantees and honest practices such as taping the phone conversations between the customer and the salesperson to make sure that no one is cheated and no lies are perpetrated by anyone on either side. And then they sponsor broadcasts like this, which bring you the truth and help you prepare for the future. That's Swiss America Trading, our sponsor. And they're so good that I give you my personal guarantee. Number one, that in your dealings with them, you'll get red carpet treatment, as long as you tell them that you're a listener to the Hour of the Time. And number two, if you ever believe that they cheated you or misrepresented or lied to you or anything, you call me and I will make sure that it is set straight immediately. That's my guarantee. And if they refuse, I will drop them as the sponsor of this program, and I will personally make it good if I have to sell every single thing that I own. I don't know anybody else in this world that can give you that kind of assurance. But you get it with Swiss America Trading and with William Cooper. I don't do anything that I can't back with my whole being, ladies and gentlemen. So, if you'd like to get your hands on some real money, if you'd like to trade some of that worthless paper you have in your wallet for some real money, real substance, real gold, you see, we're better than the alchemists. We change nothing into gold. They need lead. Call Swiss America Trading right now, 1-800-289-2646. Tell them you're a listener, a steady listener to the Hour of the Time, to William Cooper. And while you're at it, folks, thank them for all the years that they have sponsored this broadcast, come hell or high water, controversy, attacks by the press, attacks by the Internal Revenue Service and everybody else. And they have no customers that are socialists, I can guarantee you. So they lose business. Thank them. 1-800-289-2646. Show your loyalty. If you're going to deal in precious metals, if you're going to prepare for the future, prepare with the people who help you. 1-800-289-2646. You'll be glad that you did. And the next time you talk to Viking thinking that you're saving a buck, ask them about their buyback plan. Ask them about their guarantees. The question will now probably arise in the listener's mind, how can an initiate create such a new adult body, ready to wear before he relinquishes his old one? Pierre Cardin would like to know the answer to that one. The answer to this question, according to the Mysteries and the Freemasons, involves an understanding of the law of assimilation. But it should be said in the first place that no one who has just become aware of the spiritual world and perhaps learned to function in the soul body only recently is capable of performing this feat. That's how they cover their butts, folks, because you never, ever learn to perform that feat. But by the time you discover that fact, you have been initiated into the highest levels and you understand what it's really all about anyway. For the only real secret concealed at the highest levels of all of these so-called fraternal organizations, mystery religions, etc., is how to control other people by dangling the promise of a secret that does not exist in front of their eyes until they learn how to dangle that secret and become one of the Illuminati or the leaders in this scam, because that's exactly what it is, a scam. According to them, this requires a vastly more spiritual development, and only those who are very high in the scale of initiation at our present time are able to perform the feat. Good luck. The method is, however, said to be as follows. When food is taken into the body of anyone, be he adept or ignoramus, the law of assimilation is that he must first overpower each particle and conform it to himself. He must subdue and conquer the individual cell life before it can become part of his body. When this has been done, the cell will stay with him for a longer or a shorter time according to the constitution and place in evolution of the life that dwells within it. The cell composed of tissue that has once been incorporated in an animal body and interpenetrated by a desire body has the most evolved cell life. Therefore, this life quickly reasserts itself and leaves the body into which it has been temporarily assimilated. Hence, one who lives upon a flesh diet must replenish his food supply very often. Such material would therefore be unsuitable for the purpose of building a body that has to wait for some time before the adept enters it. Food consisting of vegetables, fruits, and nuts, particularly when these are ripe and fresh, is interpenetrated by a great deal of the ether which composes the vital body of the plant. These are much easier to subdue and to incorporate into the polity of the body. Also, they stay much longer there before the individual cell life can assert itself. Therefore, the adept who wishes to build a body ready to wear before he leaves the old one naturally builds it of fresh vegetables, fruits, and nuts, taking them into the body which he uses daily, where they become subjected to his will, a part of himself. Now, folks, if you read my book, you know that I predicted in my book, and before I wrote the book, in my lectures, that the meat business would be driven out of business. The cattle industry would be destroyed. Vegetarianism would be promoted and would prevail. What did you expect from the sons of Cain? Remember? Cain looked at the field and was not satisfied with the sheaves of grass growing in the field, and so he tilled the field and doubled the production of grass. Abel, on the other hand, did as he was instructed by his God and tended the beasts of the field. And when the offerings were made, God was not satisfied with Cain's offering, rejected it, and so Cain, in a jealous fit of rage, killed Abel, and that was the first murder acted out by the monkeys in 2001. I'm not saying that it's all right. I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm saying it is what it is, and that is what these people believe. And that's what a lot of you believe. I know that. The soul body of such a man is naturally very large and powerful. He separates a part of that and makes a mold or matrix into which he may build each day physical particles superfluous to the nourishment of the body he is using. Thus, by degrees, having assimilated a considerable surplus of new material, he may also draw upon the vehicle he is wearing for material that can be incorporated in the new body. So in the course of some time, he gradually transmutes one body into the other. And when the point is reached where emaciation of the old body would be observable to the outside world and caused comment, he would have balanced matters so that the new body is ready to wear, and he can then step out of the old into the new. Absolute, total bullshit, in case you haven't figured it out yet, folks. But he does not do that merely for the purpose of living in the same community. It is possible for him, by reason of his great knowledge, to use the same body for many centuries in such a manner that it would still seem young, for there is no wear and tear upon it, such as we ordinary mortals caused by our passions, emotions, and desires. They're talking about sexual intercourse. But when he does create a new body, it is always, as far as the writer knows, for the purpose of leaving the environment in which he is at that time and taking up his work in a new place. It is by reason of this fact that we hear of men like Cagliostro, Saint Germain, and others, who one day, they say, appeared in a certain environment, took up an important work, and then disappeared. Nobody knew whence they had come or whither they had gone, But everybody that knew these people was ready to testify to their remarkable qualities, whether for the purpose of vilification or praise. This transition of the adept from the dominion of death to the realm of immortality was foreshadowed in the daring leap of Hiram Abiff, the grand master workman of Solomon's temple, into the seething sea of molten metal, and his passage through the nine arc-like strata of the earth, which form the path of initiation. Also in the baptism of Jesus and the subsequent descent from Golgotha into the subterranean region, where his vital body is still kept awaiting the day of final egress of the Christ Spirit at the second advent. And that is exactly the same story in the Egyptian religion of the Osirian cycle. Let me substitute something here. Also in the baptism of Osiris and the subsequent descent from the throne into the subterranean region, where his vital body is still kept awaiting the day of final egress of the child Horus at the next sunrise. Now do you understand? In our next hour of revelation, which will not be tomorrow night, I have something else in store for you for tomorrow night. We shall follow Hiram Abiff along this path of initiation to the embodiment he wore at the time of Christ's appearance upon the earth, showing where and how he received the new initiation. For ladies and gentlemen, in the Masonic Temple, Hiram Abiff is Jesus Christ. How about that? Isn't this interesting? I'm going to give you a few little revelations. Maybe I shouldn't. I am way beyond the capability of many of you having the ability to understand what in the world I'm even talking about. And I've got to tell you, folks, I am absolutely amazed that I have come this far with all of this, with as many of you as at least profess have been able to keep up with it. I am at times dumbfounded because it is extremely difficult. And it is extremely difficult to look yourself in the mirror and admit that you have been deceived, and at least part of the deception was your own doing, that you have been stupid, apathetic, ignorant. And it's difficult to come to the realization that you have to be able to do that in order to change your life and go on into the future living in the light of truth rather than in the darkness of the lie. The Magi, the priests of the great lie, the priests of deception, who practice the art of magic, and that is what magic is, magic is the ability to perpetrate the lie, to create the illusion and make people believe it, to hold up one hand with a flourish, and all eyes in the crowd follow that hand, while with the other hand you let loose the dove who flies out of the sleeve of the upraised arm. We are living lives steeped in deception, Shakespeare was right when he said all the world's a stage and we are but actors upon it. Absolutely correct. He understood. And there are some that say that the reason that he understood and the reason for the greatness of his plays, which are all built around the mysteries and have hidden layer upon layer of symbols and hidden meanings, was actually written by Sir Francis Bacon, who also wrote a book called The New Atlantis, which was all about the New World Order. You see, it's been in process of planning for many, many years, centuries, maybe thousands of years, who knows. We can trace the line of this hidden religion all the way back to the beginning of recorded history. Prometheus, the messenger, who gave man the gift of fire, is another name of Lucifer. Remember Christ said that he saw Lucifer flung out of heaven as lightning? Can you imagine in ancient times a man naked, cold, standing afraid in the darkness while all around him beasts of prey roamed, and he didn't know from one second to the next if he would be eaten or if he would be spared to see the sun rise? His Savior, the God of light, the bright and morning star. And at noon, thankful for the warm rays and the light by which he could use to protect himself and continue to live, he performed a living sacrifice on a rock or a pile of rocks under a tree in a grove. And then the sun began to die. And man lamented the passing of his master and had to confront the Prince of Darkness once more. And once again, as he sat huddled in the cold of night, afraid, he waited for the Son of God to return with the golden dawn. In the early days of this broadcast, I did a series of 41 hours of broadcasts entitled The Mystery Series. And what you're hearing tonight and what you've heard the last, I don't know, week and a half or 2 weeks, off and on, is just an extension of that series, which included a tape with no narration on it of the Luxor Hotel in Las Vegas to show you how all of the symbology exists around you and you don't even recognize it for what it is. If you stand on the entertainment level inside the Luxor Hotel, you'll see a giant obelisk, the generative force, the phallus of Osiris, the Washington Monument. And if you look straight up on the inside of the pyramid, you will see a gigantic X, which is the four elevator shafts that go up to the apex of the pyramid. The X in the mysteries is the symbol of man. The symbol of the illumined man is the X with an eye through the center of it, letter I. If you stand there long enough and watch the tip of this obelisk in the Luxor Hotel, you will see this brought to bear as a shaft of green laser light. And remember green, you're going to see that color more and more in the future. Gorbachev's flag is green. The first flag that Columbus planted in sand when he reached the New World was a flag with a green cross. The MGM Grand from the air is a gigantic green cross. Didn't know that, did you? A shaft of green laser light shoots up from the apex of this obelisk into the center of the X, crisscrossing the apex of the pyramid, and creates the illumined man. You can see it, ladies and gentlemen, in the logo of the Luxor. I hope you can all awaken, and I hope we can make this a better world, and I hope we can do away with wars and with evil and with bad things and bad men and women through truth that will overcome the lies. You see, the New World Order is going to be a despicable state. It will not be, ladies and gentlemen, what they portend, or what they pretend, I should say. It portends evil. It will not be the great utopian state of a new Jerusalem or anything like it. For anything that is built upon a lie is still a lie. And when the light of truth is shined upon that lie, whatever rests upon that foundation will come crashing down, I can assure you. And I hold the spotlight. And I will be the one who shines that light upon that shaky, deceitful foundation. Good night, ladies and gentlemen, and God bless each and every single one of you. Thank you.